The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment. Time to break us down and they never wanted us to even come close to a chance in hell. But undoubtedly, I look around and see if we grow stronger than they can tell. Cause I can turn.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestling to the Max WWE 205 Live review for July 11, 2017. I am your host, Sean Garmer, and here with me is not Paul Leeser. With me here is Wrestling Unwrapped's Harry Broadhurst. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How about yourself, Sean?
Just ready to talk some 205 live and so excited that I hope to God this is the end of this feud. Please, for God's sakes, let this be the end because I am so tired. Gary said he was thinking about, jumping out a window if this wasn't it. I might think about joining him if we find out that this is not the end. But this seemed very definitive when we get to it. So, of course, the show was built around that I Quit match between Cedric Alexander and Noam Dar. That does happen in the main event. I feel like it's really shitty what they did about giving them... They went over 11 o'clock for them, but they gave them like 10 minutes to do an I Quit match. We did start off this show with, of course, the Akira Tozawa said it was either on Raw or at the pay-per-view that Titus better give him a rematch with Neville. Thank you for that clarification. I could not remember for the live
at the tail end of the kickoff show, right before they went to the main event video package.
Ah. So Titus doesn't want Akira Tozawa to feel bad about, how he beat Neville on Raw. So Daivari shows up, hangs up on Mr. Titus Worldwide, and he thinks that Tozawa doesn't deserve a rematch. So instead, we get a match between Akira Tozawa and Daivari. We have basically Tozawa just whoops up on Daivari for the most part. Neville gets pissed and attacks Tozawa and calls for the DQ. And then he throws Tozawa into the barricade. It was a way for Tozawa to look strong again after coming out of a loss. But then also a way for Neville to get some vengeance and lock in that Rings of Saturn and tell him who's boss.
Well, not to mention, let's not forget what happened on Raw on Monday night as well, where Tozawa kind of returned the favor to Neville by dropping him nuts first on the top rope and then kicking the rope as well before hitting that top rope senton.
I like that he continues his lessons from the Brian Kendrick feud.
Do unto others as they do unto you.
Right.
But back specifically to this match here, I think it makes perfect sense that Neville would be pissed off about that. Therefore, Neville would want vengeance, and he doesn't care if it comes at the expense of handing Arya Daivari a loss.
Hey, Neville just doesn't give a shit about anyone, if you haven't noticed. That's just
except
his
for MO. Neville.
Yeah, he cares about Neville, but he doesn't care about the fans, the other wrestlers, or whatever, just as long as he is Cruiserweight Champion on top of 205 Live, that is all that matters to the king. I love Drew Gulak in this role. He is so good at it. I really wanted to start going somewhere, though, but I liked what he did here with the... he cuts a promo where he makes it seem like he just did this terrible thing, and he talks about, I took a high risk 2 weeks ago, and it cost me a match to Mustafa Ali. And it's like this, I am so sorry for my indiscretion. I caved into the peer pressure and dove off the top rope Like, I just did drugs or something.
He did next, not sleep with that woman. He did not.
He was up on the top rope for quite a while. So, he will face Ali next week in a 2 out of 3 falls match.
This is very reminiscent to me of the stuff that he did in the Combat Zone for the Campaign for a Better CZW. It's very similar. It comes off much the same way. And this is the kind of work that I think got him noticed by the WWE, because let's be honest, Gulak is not an especially standout-ish guy. He doesn't have a standout frame. He doesn't have a standout, like, match ethic. It's not like you're guaranteed a superstar match every time you see him. He's competent. He's more than capable in the ring. But it's character development like this that makes Gulak stand out amongst the cruiserweights, because of the fact that he has a defined character that people can relate to, even if they think he's an asshole.
Yeah, exactly. I think also it allows him to show off his chops of being able to cut a promo and not and he is a very, very good wrestler. Just he's in the ring, he borders on, some people may find him boring, I guess. And so
dull.
Yeah, dull. That's a better word. I think this does wonders for him as far as proving that he can have a character. He can have something that, like you said, that you can be relatable. It's easy to understand. It's the guy that's going against all the other guys that fly. And, you know, it creates a very hateable heel for the situation. The problem is that they don't let them fly enough on this show. So some of it kind of falls moot. But if this goes somewhere, I don't know if it's going to... We and Patrick... Or not Patrick. We and Paul have talked about... could this lead to a... You know, where he forms a stable of guys that now no longer believe in flying. Or whatever. And I don't know if it would go anything like the Catch Point and Evolve. But just where he kind of has a few guys that start believing in his message. Or if it just becomes this thing where he goes on the crusade like a CZW, but I think either way it's good for him.
Well, I think that with the working relationship that they have with Evolve and the fact that we've seen as many people come from Evolve into the WWE, I wouldn't be surprised to see people like Fred Yehi and Tracy Williams end up joining his campaign for a better 205 Live.
Oh, you know that somebody's going to have Fred Yehi on their radar. I mean, the dude is freaking awesome. I don't know how he is not been signed by WWE at this point. But
the argument could be made that Tracy Williams was the biggest standout in Catch Point and Evolve.
Certainly. I think you could bring him in for that, but I think they're probably gonna be looking at the bit younger guys at this point. After this, go ahead.
Just real quick, how about somebody like All Ego Ethan Page?
I love All Ego Ethan Page, so yes, please. he seems like a guy that WWE would love as well, but he seems to also enjoy a bit of what he's doing. Now,
he seems content to be where he is right now without moving forward.
Right, so like, you know, how much of that freedom would he have, even in NXT? I don't know. You know.
Right.
Would he even get to be All Ego Ethan Page? Would he then have to change his name, probably, and then it's a different gimmick altogether?
That's a very good question, not to mention he wouldn't have the backstory that the characters built up on the independents as well.
Maybe he'll get lucky and he'd get to keep it, but I just wouldn't feel like if he got signed tomorrow that they would think it's big enough for him to keep that. But maybe if that time comes for him, he could negotiate that possibly.
Well, so there is somebody that did just sign with the company that I think would be a great fit for 205 Live.
Well, Leo Rush?
Yes.
I just hate guys going to 205 Live and then being stuck here, because Leo Rush deserves more than that. But it just with his size, I feel like that's where he's going to wind up.
finds himself in that Austin Aries style pigeonholing that Aries was so disappointed about. Because he believes the.
But you know, Aries is also older, right? He's 38. He sees AJ Styles. He sees Nakamura. He sees other guys that have his talent, and he goes, "Why the hell can I be on those shows? Why do I have to be on 205 Live? Well, I'm going to go somewhere else where I've shown I can be a heavyweight and do that well." You know, I think New Japan would probably stick him as a junior as well. So be careful with that. But you know, he could go back to ROH or GFW or whatever, and I think he'd do fine. Or he can just decide to run the indies, whatever he decides to do. Just, I hate to see this for Leo Rush. I really do, if he just gets stuck in 205. That's why I think, you know, Ricochet, obviously the Lucha Underground thing is keeping him from holding out, but he has been steadfast in saying that I will not come if they stick me in 205 Live. And I don't blame him, because you're like dead in the water there. Unless you're Neville. But, you know, Neville's a sort of... I would say, like, at this point, he's been in the system so long that, you know, he's almost more of a WWE guy than he was a Dragon Gate guy or whatever. Whereas, you know, Ricochet is a bit much bigger name coming in, and you're going to stick him in 205 Live. That would just suck for him.
The only way I think he would be okay going to 205 Live is if they let the guys in 205 Live wrestle more of the style from the Cruiserweight Classic than a watered-down WWE style they currently do.
Even right, then, it's the whole, like, okay, we saw Akira Tozawa maybe thought he was going to graduate from being in 205 Live, and then it seems like he's not. So that's what sucks. It's like, it seems like you don't get out of this division. If they can prove that you do eventually get to get out of here, then maybe you can sign more of these guys, something like that. All right, so getting back to this show at hand here. Obviously, you know, TJP and Rich Swann have been having this little tit-for-tat thing. And so Rich Swann takes on Mario Connors, takes him almost 4 minutes to beat the guy. This is all an angle so that TJP can come down and say that, look, I expected more out of you. You should have beat, you know, this guy in half the time. And now TJP wants his shot. And unbelievably, TJP wins in less than 30 seconds. And shows that he actually went out and did what he said instead of looking like an idiot. So I appreciate that, and it kind of continues this feud in an interesting way.
I feel like there would have been a bigger story to tell had Connors upset T.J. Perkins, though.
I feel like it would have been the same tropey thing, like, all the time, though. Like, how many times have we seen that story?
Well, I'm actually approaching watching the very first time we saw that story.
Nah.
I'm going through the network, and I'm about to hit the May 17th episode of Raw where the kid pulls the Shocker against Razor Ramon.
Yeah, the ultimate classic version of that, yeah.
But you'll notice that TJP almost got caught, though. Like, when he went for the... when he went for the knee bar and Connors caught him in that roll-up and got a very close two count, and then obviously they went straight into the detonation kick for the finish.
Yeah, again, it's that whole, like, they give you the tease that maybe this is going to be a problem, and then it's not. So, I also appreciated some people don't like this whole thing with Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher, but I've actually enjoyed this. I like that Kendrick gets to play a character more, because he's a very good wrestler still, and Jack Gallagher has the gimmick, obviously, in wrestling. Getting to have both of these guys show more characters, what you need on 205 Live, need more stories. I think this is another case where you're having to bring something out of both men here. And Kendrick basically calling Jack Gallagher a third-rate William Regal. And he you know, it's basically Brian Kendrick tells his story of, man, I had to work hard. I had to do all this stuff to get where I am again. Kendrick lets him know, hey, I've been fighting since I was 16, and you're the guy that blew your first chance here, and now you're getting your second one. I'm not a third-rate William Regal at all. I'm a first-rate Jack Gallagher, the kind of line you'd expect here. Gallagher knocks Kendrick to the floor, and then Kendrick attacks Gallagher with his own umbrella. What an asshole.
That is like the fifth or sixth William to be destroyed in the course of Jack Gallagher's WWE run. The William family should go on strike. As far as the angle goes, I have no problem with them giving Brian Kendrick something to do by having him work with Jack Gallagher. And I think Gallagher is somebody that they could eventually see something. And you mentioned about people possibly getting out of the 205 Live division there. Let's not forget that Gallagher was the only cruiserweight in the Royal Rumble this year.
Yeah, true.
So he's obviously somebody who I think that they could potentially see a future for if they decide not to continue with the 205 division in general.
Oh, definitely. I think Vince likes him, or he wouldn't be here. I just worry about them thinking he can't get past the base part of this gimmick. You know, can he really be something?
No, there's definitely an over-reliance on the British nature, the British gentleman nature of the gimmick. And I think that that's something that tends to be a little overstated when it comes to the creative team kind of constantly throwing that in our faces. And Kendrick doing the same thing, too, calling him a third-rate William Regal. Regal never really relied on the gimmick such as having something around ringside with him except for his brass knuckles. The difference was that Regal was a cutthroat bastard when he was using the brass knuckles, whereas Gallagher is a gentleman who apologized for causing a disqualification before he caused the disqualification before.
Yeah. They've done well with him for the most part. I think it goes into the inconsistency with this show where they use a lot of the same people, and William, or, you know, Gallagher's sort of been a victim of that at times. But so let's get to this main event. They give them 5 minutes before 11 to start the match, or I think it's 6 minutes before 11 technically. I thought this was actually pretty good for the time that they gave them. I love the complete shot into the floor. And Dar sold it really well. Made you think he could have been knocked out there. I thought they were going to maybe end the match there. But he got up. You know, Alexander did a lot of his patented spots, basically. They were doing the I Quit stuff pretty heavily. Then Alexander puts Dar's arm into the chair in a way where how he's stomping on it, it's basically just getting his arm to the point where it could break. So he does it a few times, keeps asking him to quit. He doesn't want to. And then he goes nuts on the chair. And then he quits. But he doesn't just quit the match or the feud. He also quits Alicia Fox and then goes off on her about how I wasn't even into you. You're as stupid as you look. I'm 22. I've been here a year. I'm now 23. I'm the best athlete on 205 Live and on Raw. I've had a woman in every country, in every city. And Fox is freaking out, of course. All right. And, yeah, basically he used her.
Request. Can we discuss the match first, and then we'll talk about the angle? Because you and I had a conversation on the Wrestling to the Max wrestling staff thread on Facebook chat, and I kind of want to bring that chat here to the podcast for everybody to see and listen to. But first, I want to talk about the match itself.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. The match itself I thought was actually very well done for the time constraints that they had put upon them. I think when you do a match like I Quit, you need to set aside some time for it. And I get that doing something like this kind of tells you that, especially if it starts as late as it does, that it's not going to be especially long, which is one of the reasons I figured that this match would open the show tonight, so that way you had no idea how long they were going to go and how violent it was going to get. Agree or disagree that you think this match should have opened the show tonight?
I don't know that it had to open. You could have done it in the middle of the show as well, and then just not had us. You didn't have to have the Rich Swann and TJP stuff tonight. You could have done that any other night and just had this go for 25 minutes if you really wanted to.
Yeah, my thought process to that is that they set up these matches that have people invested, the matches that people want to see, and then they just don't give them the time to deliver the kind of performance that needs to be delivered to have those kind of matches, which is one of the reasons I'm really nervous about Mustafa Ali and Drew Gulak's 2 out of 3 falls match next week, because odds are, if they go 2 out of 3 falls, but it lasts 10 minutes, who's going to care?
Right, yeah, exactly. And if you're trying to rush to do all these falls, you got to give them time to breathe. I hope they do. I mean, if they give them 15 minutes, somewhere around there, I think I'd be okay with it. Just, I don't want to see them try to do this in like 8 minutes or something. It would suck.
Absolutely. All right, now let's bring our conversation from the wrestling thread into the actual 205 Live show here. Go ahead and give your thoughts first, and then I will explain mine.
You know, I think it's fine that Dar is ending it with Alicia Fox. Obviously, boasting about yourself is something that a heel does. It's just, I did not think that it was necessary to sort of being insulting her and then just, like, okay, she used you. Somehow, for some reason, she came back. And then, because I guess, you know, Rich Swann didn't want her. And then, now you're using her. Why didn't you just not take her back the first time? I just don't see how using her again is any... like, for me, period, this was not the great way. This is a very main roster, old school, you know, like old Attitude Era main roster use of the women. I thought we'd gotten past that. I get what Vince was trying to do. I think it might have worked in some context, but the feud went too long. And then to sort of go this route to get rid of her, when you could have just said, look, you're crazy and I'm leaving you, I think that would have worked just fine. Just I used you, I would have used you. It makes them both look stupid, honestly.
All right, so I'm going to touch on all of the points that you just raised there, the first of which being the fact that why would he take her back in the first place? He actually addressed that himself. He says that the notoriety of being with somebody like Alicia is going to get him noticed by management in the WWE because he's coming into a unfamiliar territory here in the WWE, whereas, whether fans want to admit it or not, Alicia Fox has been in the WWE for almost a decade now. Scary to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, but do people really care?
The casual fan, probably not, but to maybe Noam's looking at it like management obviously sees something in her to keep her around, so if they're going to keep her around, if he's associated with her, they're going to keep him around.
It does make him stand out from the, you're the only one with a woman on the roster, on that roster.
Number two, they had the match on Raw where Noam got pinned by Cedric. And then there was a backstage segment where Cedric said that he was ready to move on, and Alicia coddled up to him and said, no, you move on when I say we're done with him. You move on when you make him quit. I want you to take him out of the WWE. And you can see Noam roll his eyes as she says that, and the fact that he's being forced into another match with this guy that he obviously has no interest in having. And then look at the toll that this particular match took on him. Look at all of the... look at all of the damage that he went through in the course of this match. Look at the fact that his hand was more or less mangled inside of that steel chair for the finish there. It makes perfect sense that he's going to be visibly pissed off at her for getting him into this contest in the first place.
I understand all that.
The other point that I wanted to raise here is if this gets Alicia Fox off of 205 Live, period, so much the better.
We'll see, because I'd assume that she has to have revenge at least on Raw. So.
And if they can sustain it to Raw, I would be okay with that. If it continues to bleed over into 205 Live, then I will take back the benefit of the doubt that I am currently giving it. As far as the your whole theory about this being a very Attitude Era way to use the women, I don't think anybody's going to complain about Alicia Fox not being in the ring as often as she should be.
No, I'm not saying she needs to be in the ring. I'm saying that it's just, I don't know. In a world where we need more managers, this was not the greatest way to really show us that we need them. And just, it continues her character that she's had for like a long time and all this stuff, but I don't know. I just don't know how this really, it got to the point where just you're so tired of it. So did it really help anybody? That's the point.
I think that this is perfectly suitable as a blow-off match, and they need to move on to Noam Dar versus somebody else. And Cedric Alexander.
And be able to take Noam Dar seriously, which is another problem.
And Cedric Alexander needs to move onward and upward into the upper echelon of the cruiserweight division, which is where he belongs.
Yeah, he's definitely probably going to be the next challenger for Neville. Or you can even have a Tozawa versus Neville if Tozawa winds up being the guy that they feel like is worth removing Neville from that championship, since Austin Aries couldn't be that guy.
I made the bold prediction back around WrestleMania, even before the program started with Aries, that the man who was going to take the Cruiserweight title off of Neville was going to be Akira Tozawa. I stand by that.
I hope that prediction is true, just because I want to see him win the title. But, you know, the way they are with Neville, they really love him, and I don't blame them. He's been awesome in this role. Just somebody's got to beat the man. Somebody's got to be him. All right, so if that is what we're doing, that's all we have for 205 Live here. Next week, of course, we'll be talking more about the show. Make sure you check out all of our other content on WTMNet.com or the WTM Network, where you can find Harry's podcast, Wrestling Unwrapped. And, of course, all of our Wrestling to the Max stuff, as well as the, you know, Running Wild podcast, Shooting the Shiznit. Any other, we have all the entertainment stuff and, video games, football, soccer, it's all there. Now, Robert Taylor even started MMA to the Max, so more great stuff coming for you guys, and hope you all enjoy it. And until, next week, we'll see you later, everybody.